Welcome to another episode of, I'm calling this thing Toad's Country because why not, man? It's country music and it's Toad. Drew Green.
What's up?
Dude, we did this once before, but it was audio.
Yeah.
Welcome back, man.
This is way cooler, way more. This is fancy, man.
Are you
like
saying
I feel like I'm in Vegas with Toad right now, like all fancy.
You're saying the stuff we did before wasn't cool?
Oh, no, it was great, but this is the next... This is high-rise stuff.
This is.
I feel like
I'm
in a penthouse suite right now in top of Vegas.
It is. You know what? The only thing I think that we're missing is the Blue Valor bottle. Troy, what happened to it? That's my whiskey, and I donate to cops, and that's what's funding this whole project right here, which is kind of cool.
I love it. Hooch.
Hooch. I was telling you that because of you, I love that song. I think that was probably one of the first songs I ever heard from you.
Yeah, that's what you contacted me for the first time.
Probably was. And then on my business card for my Blue Valor Whiskey, my email is hooch@bluevalorspirits.com.
You hear that, guys? He got his email.
That's right. You got my email now. I mean, yeah, it's not what it used to be, so it's something new.
That's awesome.
Welcome back to Vegas.
Man, I love it.
You got a lot. City. You got a lot going on, man. A lot.
It's been busy, man. It's been fun. It's been playing here tonight. Glad it's actually been kind of chill on the road stuff this year. We're kind of just getting back started.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be back with the band, back in the room, back in seeing some fans. Yeah.
That sounds like a song. Just use the word back like 14 times. It really does.
I could write that pretty quick.
You could. You probably just did. And I want writer's credit on it, right? 10% of everything.
So it's funny. I could probably show you in my notes right now. Like I already did that, dude. That's a great. Back on it.
Just because your managers are here doesn't mean that you can do that kind of stuff, right? Because they're on your phone right now going back, and putting like November of 21.
Yeah.
That's funny. Dude, so you're like dropping singles like crazy right now, too.
That's the goal, man. Yeah, I'd like to, as fast as I can possibly do it without anyone getting pissed off at me, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who could? Do you have a deal right now?
In the process of working one.
Yeah, right.
So we're doing lawyer stuff, but either way, I mean, like just as fast as the DSPs will allow me to send them a song and like get the opportunity to get put on a playlist, the curators and all the stuff like that. I mean, my goal is every 2 weeks, but we're looking at six, like it's realistically 6 weeks.
Do the DSPs run that? Like they kind of can say whether or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
I mean, if I was to put out a song today, and then I just randomly turn one in to come out Friday, they probably won't get it. It'll be out a week before they even know that it's out, if that makes sense. They got to be notified that it's coming out.
Does it like sit in a queue per se and then they go through the queue and look at stuff, or
I don't know.
That's kind of interesting. I never heard that.
I don't know how that works. I just know that they need to be notified in advance to get the opportunity to get put on a playlist or to get curated the right way, you know, to put it everywhere it goes.
What would you say is the funnest song you've been a part of so far? I like the word fun.
Okay. Man, it's hard because I kind of credit myself and just like I write a lot of like fun upbeat stuff, so it's like I feel like half of my playlist is stuff like Hooch. You know, Hooch is a lot of fun. Just put out one called Road Dirt that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I actually
listened
to that.
A Lot of It of You, my current single, is really fun.
What about let's go to like ones that you've written. Like, what's your favorite song you've been a part of writing that you didn't cut?
That I did not cut?
Yourself. Yeah, something that you've written that someone else cut that you've actually...
I mean, Colorado is pretty fun, that Florida Georgia Line cut. That's actually, for sure, that's definitely my first... And that was my first cut, so it's like that's my baby.
Right.
You know, that was the one that guy wouldn't be sitting here without that song, so...
I think that's pretty crazy. Most people don't understand that a lot of artists like yourself write as well as play music. That's
what
I wrote
for, yeah. I mean, I moved to town, and I grew up chasing this dream to obviously be an artist, but at the same time I didn't say that to nobody. I just wanted to get my chops of being a songwriter. I fell in love with songwriting and invested all of my time into writing 2 to 3 songs a day.
So where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up?
Manville, Tennessee, which is about an hour and a half southeast of Nashville. I grew up on a tree farm, so I fell in love with the country sitting on a tractor, like seriously, like that.
Yeah.
And literally just riding around on a tractor at 1 mile an hour, screaming, you know, Brooks and Dumb to the radio with crappy service. Yeah, so it was, that's where I fell in love with country. And then I started playing country in college. I was the only country act. So I was like, feel like I was more famous in college than I was. And I don't know, like it was really good. And I thought to myself, maybe I can do this, you know. I graduated with a finance degree. I started working at a bank.
I can't imagine you at a bank.
I'm talking if I had a hair on my face, they'd hand me a razor and say, go home.
Really?
Like, not kidding. I'm talking, like, really tip-top, like, white-collar, great. And I miss it sometimes, you know, but man, obviously I would never go back. But
9 to 5 is a lot different than your 20 hours
dude,
a day.
8 to 4, 9 to 5, all that's awful. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I miss the schedule, I guess, more than anything. Like me not knowing what I'm doing in 10 minutes, literally. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing the second I get off this interview. But yeah, that's hard. But at the same time, you just roll with it, you know. And but anyways, I started playing at Tootsie's downtown in the honky tonks, and that's how it led me to Hunter Phelps, was my first co-ride ever, who's crushing it right now. He's still one of my good buddies, and he went. He said, "Did you write this?" He heard a song I wrote for my wife at Tootsie's, and I'd wrote like 2 songs, and he's like, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And I was like, "Nothing," you know, and
sleeping.
So he's like, "You want to write?" And I was like, "Oh, I never have, but sure." And he came to my house the next day, and we wrote like every day for a year together, and that led me to getting in a room with Hardy, and which led me to writing color. I had this idea that I'd pitched around to everybody that I was writing with. This is probably a year later, and I had this idea that I thought to myself, like, it was so good. I was like, I just don't understand why nobody wants to write the song. It was like, my idea was Somewhere in the Smokies on a Rocky Mountain High. That was my pitch, you know, and I thought that was so cool. And nobody would write it with me. I was like, this is a terrible idea. Nobody likes it. And finally, I pitched it to Hardy, and Hardy loved it. And we went back to Hunter's house that night, and we wrote it so fast that I don't even remember.
The three of you?
Yeah, we wrote it so fast. I mean, Hardy's amazing. I mean, you got to understand, he's one of the savants of our songwriting, you know, and so is Hunter. And me and Hunter kind of taught me how to write, I feel like. But we kind of taught each other in a way, too, you know, because we wrote every day for like a year, I feel like.
That's a long time.
Yeah, we wrote a lot of songs. And we were sitting there, me and Hunter kind of wrote the chorus, and Hardy was like, "What's the song about?" And I was like, "Well, I think it's about," I was like, "This is crazy, but I think it's about this guy that was supposed to get married." And so I guess she walked out on him, and he already had the honeymoon paid for it. He just goes on this honeymoon and gets high and drunk and saying, you know, he's got friends from Colorado, he's got friends from Tennessee, kind of thing.
Right.
Like somewhere in the Smokies on a Rocky Mountain High. He's just getting high in the Gatlinburg or something. He's like, okay, because it's a really weird. I mean, I felt like I'm gonna get kicked out of the room at that point. You know, it's like, really,
but dude, you gotta figure writing in general.
That's just a weird story. It's not a normal day of songs.
Well, like, the whole analogy to writing, I've always used that as kind of like a first date. The first time you go sit down with someone to write,
especially if you don't know him. You know, yep. and you gotta remember at the time this guy's Michael. You know, this is not Hardy yet, so it's like this is like just another dude.
He's still driving his Ford F-150.
Sure, yeah, he's collecting rocks. You know, like he was showing his rock collection, which is badass, but. We're sitting there, and I'm like, this dude thinks I'm an idiot, probably, like, pitching this idea, you know? And he's like, okay, cool. Looks down at his phone. I mean, I probably went out for a smoke and came back, and he looks up and goes, "What if this is the verse?" And he just sang literally verbatim the entire verse. And I'm just like,
that was easy.
Okay, that's freaking, okay, that's it. Let's move on, you know? And so needless to say, we wrote the song so fast that I was just like, cool, another song. Like, had no connection or ties to it at all. And then he sent, like, he did a work tape at his house, because we didn't even have a guitar that was worked at the time. Like, we were literally just singing this a cappella, pretty much. And he came back and was like, "Florida Georgia Line is going to cut it." And
How long after you did that?
A couple months, yeah.
Oh, that's
and
fast,
I'd been
too.
told this stuff like this before. You know, Luke Bryan's cutting it. You know, it got in a hold or whatever. And so I didn't take it that serious, you know. And then one day I had a ride with Hunter, and I didn't put two and two together. But Hunter was like, "I got to go drop some papers off over at Big Loud real quick." I'm like, okay, cool. So I just sit in the truck. Next thing I know, I see Hardy walking across the street with a big old 40. I was like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Your life's about to change, brother." And then they brought me over to the studio. I got to watch him record it, like the whole thing. It was like a dream day.
That's pretty cool.
You know, and so, but anyways, I called Hardy a few months ago, and you know, we're close. He's busy. He's crushing. We're not, like, you know, that close. But I can call him, you know. It's like, I kind of want to put this on my record. FGL didn't single it, you know. And he said, "Man, you beat me to it. What if we do it together?" And so I just recorded it. We just re-recorded it. And I plan on putting it out this year, hopefully. We'll see. We're working on all the logistics. But
when he said that you beat him to it, does that mean that he wanted to cut it,
too?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I mean, that he was going to do it as well. Probably. You know, so I was thinking maybe, like, he was thinking, you know, Hicks tape, because he does the Hicks tape thing, you know, which would be sick. But I think it right now is just, I'm going to put it out featuring him, which would be good for me.
What about Hunter? Where's Hunter fit in?
You know what's crazy? I told Hunter about it. Hunter's crushing right now. Hunter's got like 6 songs in the top 10 on the radio right
it's
now.
It's nuts.
So I'm imagining that Hunter doesn't care if he's on it or right. not, or sings it or singing it or not. But I'm a fan of Hunter, and I always have. He has a song called House Parties that I want to cut. You know, I've been throwing parties. No, I'm sorry, it's been called Throwing Parties. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not House Party. That's Sam Hunt.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Same difference.
No, Hunter's amazing, and. Yeah, Hunter. I would love for Hunter to be on it. Yeah, but I think the contract, the paperwork's probably already gone through with Hardy. But
that's still huge. I mean, you think of something like that, and then you have the opportunity to maybe get out on the road and support Hardy.
Still,
and then
I still get to play it, you know. And
yeah,
support my buddy, and it helps me too. You know, obviously Hardy's huge right now. So
is he playing it at all? Has he played it at all?
I know he does when he plays acoustic. I think it's one of his favorites. So like, he definitely plays it when he plays an acoustic
that's crazy.
Show somewhere. Probably not a lot. No.
That but is crazy. How well did it do with...
It was one of his first cuts, so, yeah.
How well did it do with FGL?
It was the Rolling Stone fan favorite on,
really?
On the album, yeah.
So it's already huge.
So it was already huge, yeah. And it's cool for me. Like, I played in, like, you know, Greeley Stadium. I think that's what it's called, Greeley Stadium, with Sam Hunt last year, and it was awesome. I mean, I stopped singing in the entire stadium, singing it. And afterwards, at the merch booth, you know, like, the meet and greets, everybody was like, man, I hear that song on the radio every day. And I'm like, really? Like, really?
I ain't getting paid every day.
No, I mean, I've made some money from it, but you can tell that it's probably just from the Colorado market, just because it's called Colorado.
Colorado, right.
Yeah.
It sits at home.
So it'll always be shining there, for sure.
What do you think has driven your hip-hop and your country vibe together? What do you think did that for you?
I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to music. I just grew up, you know, Alan Jackson, Sammy Kershaw, and to Dr. Dre, Eminem, to Limp Bizkit, Puddle of Mud, Silverchair, Nirvana.
Damn.
I literally just went through the years of different styles of music, you know. Craig David, which is the English R&B / Usher type R&B
right.
kind of thing. So I really just have went through all the styles of music, and I think you can definitely hear that when you listen to my music.
I'll agree.
I think country's my core. I'm definitely a country person. I think you hear that when you listen to the lyric. And in my head, as being a songwriter, that is, if your lyric is country, then the song is country.
Sure.
And a lot of people, and a lot of traditionalists especially, will hear it, will be completely opposite of that. If there's not a fiddle or a banjo,
it's not country,
you know, right. And that's fine.
Or if the BPMs people, are too high, they're
sure,
out. Yeah.
Sure. And that's I understand their argument. Like, they're not wrong either, that's just where I look at it, and I think that's where a lot of people are today, especially here. And you know, like, you'll hear a rock song with a country lyric, and you know, Hardy's great at that. There's a lot of guys that are doing that, where to me, that's a country song because of the lyric.
I think my attitude is that, like, however you perceive it is what
sure.
it is, and however you portray it, it
sure.
is what it is. And
absolutely, then that's the truth. If it's country to you, then it's country.
Yeah, there's
it's
so many
cool.
There's so many bubble genres in country these days.
Oh,
that
man,
I don't
it's crazy.
I mean,
what is country?
Everyone's got a story. I mean, the end
yeah.
of the day is, I mean, if you
absolutely.
Grew up, I think if you grew up with that in your life, I mean, growing up on a farm driving a tractor,
sure.
I don't think it's any more country than that, really.
Sure. Yeah, and I don't have a big chip on my shoulder. I'm not trying to impress anybody.
Yep.
Whenever I get into a room, and whether you play the most country lick of all time on the guitar or the most hip-hop 808 beat of all time, I'm probably going to do the same thing every day. And that's just because I'm just doing me, you know, and I'm just trying to write the best song, and it turns into what it turns into. If I go into the room saying, I really want to write George Strait a song today, it's probably going to turn into a Drew Green hip-hop song.
So
like, just because this is who I am,
that's
I'm just
the
way
write. You do it.
That's just the way I write, you know. And even if I'm trying, it's going to turn into not a George Strait song.
Why did you go from going out on the road back to writing so much? Is it just something you missed, or is it just a timing thing?
It was just a timing thing. I was coming in and out of a deal. I was with a record label, and then I got basically dropped, you could say, just straight up. Like, the point where we didn't go to radio, both of my teams. I was on a JV, so I had one group, which was Justin Timberlake, and then one group, which was Sony, and they were kind of in between taking me to radio and with my song Good Old Man, because it was doing so well.
Right.
And I was at the point where I was like, well, if my teams can't really work together, let's just, you know, cut the cord before things get worse, you know,
right.
Before time, we're wasting time here.
Just imagine if it
I've put out 3 songs in a year. That's it.
Wow.
That's not my, I've wrote 300. What are we doing? You know, like, we, you know, that's not good numbers to me. So it's like, we need to get these songs out.
When were you out on the road with Sam?
Oh, last year, last June. Like the first leg of his tour, I forget what tour.
Were you direct support?
Yes, so just me and him. Yeah.
How'd that feel? I mean, that's huge, dude. I mean, there's like, so much knowledge and...
It was the... I mean, you wake up some days and you're like, I don't deserve to be here. And that's the first time in my career that I felt that way. And so it's been a really good feeling to be like, I don't deserve to be here, man. There's a lot of people that are way better than me. Which there are. there definitely is, you know, and it's been awesome. And Sam's got such a great crew, they're so nice and so giving and so like helpful. And I mean, every morning we would sit and have breakfast together, and so it's like, which is crazy because I remember like in 2013 or 12 sitting on top of my parents' houseboat at the lake hearing one of his songs and like, this dude's gonna break the freaking internet.
Yeah,
like, and he did, you know. And so I said the same thing about FGL. So it's cool getting to hang out with these guys that I grew up wanting to write like, you know.
He's got that one album, Behind the Pines, I think it's called, or something like
Between
that.
Between the Pines, maybe.
I liked his music, but I was never a fan until I listened to that.
So good.
And when I went through that, I was like, dude, this dude writes.
Oh, man, he's such a
he's
good
got some.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like probably 4 or 5 close to number ones on that,
oh,
on that album.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was driving to San Diego. I was almost there with my friend Z, who's in nightlife, totally different genre of music than I listen to.
Sure.
And that song Vacation came on.
Oh, yeah.
And
I
was
love
like,
that song.
Dude, it's so simple.
Yeah.
But the hook is so strong that I was just like, man, what do you think's the one thing that you can take from that time on the road with him that you're going to use as you continue in your career?
Probably just the system itself, like from having, like when you get to that point where you've got semis, you know, you got
plural,
like, you know, like where you've got managers, plural,
yeah.
You know, you got crew, plural, like crews on crew, like it's just so much involved. Like it's so the whole of like, it's like almost like, I don't see how you survive. It's like so much going on, you know?
You go back like playing in a smaller venue and then you watch. I mean, I've watched quite a few careers just explode through the 16 years that I've been just in the country world.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like nuts where you think, do they miss the simple life?
Oh, I'm sure. I miss Planet Tootsies, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, heck yeah. I miss
just we could just walk in with a guitar and walk out. I mean,
that's right.
Beer
home,
money.
I'm at home every day and I ain't got to think or focus, pay nobody,
right?
Do nothing. But at the same time, I'd love, that's the dream, getting to play my own songs, yeah.
And be out on the road and have support. And
oh, man, have a band, have a crew, have people that believe in me and have fans that come up and bring their son or their kid to come up. That's the biggest dream of all time. Or someone tell me a story that for some reason my song changed their life. Or that's why anyone's sitting right here, for sure.
Relatability.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music that comes out and people can relate to it, man.
Absolutely.
It's pretty nuts. I just listened to a song by Tyler Braden this morning. It came on my Spotify, a song called Friends.
I love Tyler. Yeah.
Have you heard that song, Friends?
Brian Anderson wrote that song, yeah.
My God. I mean, the lyrics in that song are just...
Brian's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it hit me pretty hard. I mean, I think we've all been in that. I think that's what music is about, is when you can put something together where people actually can relate and kind of walk in your shoes. In that sense, just because they've had that familiarity with
for
something
sure.
like that. And I think that's what, I mean, I have fun with the fun music, but I also like that other side of music as well.
Sure.
Of stuff that hits home, makes you cry a little bit.
Yeah, if you listen to my playlist, my songs that I have out right now, it's probably a 60-40, 60% fun and 40% like really down to earth.
Yep.
Like, I'm a simple person just like you are.
Human side. Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like every artist needs that to their extent, to a little, I mean... Somewhat, whether that be, it's like for G-Eazy, I'm a fan of G-Eazy, and if you listen to his record, he's got a lot of songs in there that talk about him being, going through it, you know, like whatever, what got him to where he is.
Yeah.
And even if it's fun, club banging music, the lyric is telling you a story about him getting rejected or him making it or whatever, you know.
I would say most people listen to,
that.
Yeah, they might listen to the hook. The beat,
yep.
That's what gets them. But when you start listening to the lyrics and stuff like that, that's a game changer.
Yeah, I'm a whole song dude. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm an album dude too. And beginning to end, I want to know everything about this person if I'm enjoying it, you know.
I want to go back to Hardy for a sec. The first time I listened to Mockingbird and the Crow,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get all the way through the whole song. I stopped it. So I didn't even get to that last, where that chorus broke, and he just went absolutely ape shit. When I went back and listened to it again, I was like, how the hell did
I
ever?
Yeah.
It is, but I was just like, I caught the beginning of it when it came. I just listened to this morning Psycho for the first time. Like, I just love listening to new music and everything like that. And I think that's where Road Dirt came. And that, I think that to me is you to a T.
Yeah.
The music.
Oh, dude, that's like, I mean, that was like literally some days. Like a lot of it of you, Road Dirt, for some reason, I'll just get up in the morning and probably the minute I open my eyes is the best time for me to come up with like melodies and things that I do. So if I'm in the shower, I usually just sing like gibberish. I'll just sing gibberish in the shower. My wife has to be like, if it was on video, it'd probably make like, I'd probably be more rich from making like YouTube,
funniest
TikTok,
song videos.
TikToks and me singing in the shower. But yeah, I came up with a lot of it of you chorus in the shower, Road Dirt in the shower. Just singing, you know.
It's pretty cool.
And then I'll put words to it, you know, and then I'll bring it to a write, and I'll walk in a little nervous because I don't have an idea. Like, I don't have the
still
title.
Still to this day, you still walk in nervous to a write?
Oh, every day. Every day. Yeah.
Really?
Riding is not like riding a bike. It's like, I haven't rode a bike in a year probably, but I can sit on a bike and ride anywhere, you know. But if I don't write a song for a year, I'm toast. It's gonna take me a week just to get like you have to do it every day, and that's why I've been taking a lot more of breaks because of the road stuff, because of the artist stuff. So now when I go into a ride, I'm a little more nervous because I haven't been doing it like I was doing it.
I used to ride my bike, my dirt bike, at least once a week, and there was a 2-year span I didn't touch it.
But I bet you could hop right on it.
I can hop right on it again, but it's not the same.
You might not do some of the stuff that you could do, but yeah.
Yeah, the core is way different, dude. The core is different. It's true. When you ride on a regular, it's just like going to the gym and working out, I guess, same thing. But I'm just slowly getting myself back into it again because it's been a long time. You get busy and you start to forget what life's about. And
that's right.
What do you do on your free time? Like, what's your thing that you like to go
gamer,
and do?
I'm a gamer, man. I'm a gamer.
What do you play?
I switched over to PC during COVID, so I'm I play Call of Duty. I play this game called Rust. It's a survival game. You basically spawn on the beach with a rock and a torch, and you have to get wood and stone, make your survival, like, and you're fighting all these people on this island, basically on this really big map. And there's probably 200 people, and it's like last man standing, pretty much.
Is it live? Like all the other people are real people?
Yes, everyone. Yeah, and so it's. We're all out there trying to collect resources and kill each other and survive and try to get, you know.
When you die, that 200 people, do you respawn again? Or do
yes. You lose everything you have on you.
And start all over again.
Yeah, you're back on the beach, yeah. But or you can make a sleeping bag. Like, if you have a house, like, if you get to that point where you have a village, you can spawn in it and continue.
And have the stuff that's in there?
Sure, whatever you can bring, whatever you have in there. But after about 2 weeks or a month, it's called wipe, and it just starts all over, and everybody's back to nothing. So there's no point in it. It's just like You can't win, because as soon as the end of the month's over, it just wipes and starts over, and everybody's back to being with a rock, like everybody.
Wow.
So, but it's during the community aspect of it. Like, by the time that month is over, you know everyone that's there, they hate you, or you ally up with these guys, and it turns into like a big brawl, you know, and it's a lot of fun.
I've never heard of it.
It's a lot of fun. It's probably, it's still, I think it's in the top 30 games still. It's been out for like since 2016, I think.
Holy cow.
But I started playing it during COVID,
yeah. I can't play like Call of Duty, that first person stuff where all you see is the gun and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's why like golf is my thing. I'll play golf.
I like golf too. Golf's fun. Golf's a cool chill, like on the bus with the guys kind
of
thing.
Right. Yeah. A lot of shit talking happens when that happens.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, man. We were talking before that. That's one of my favorite things to do is just connect with y'all in Nashville. It's just through video games. Dude, I mean, I was watching online during COVID, like Al Dean and his whole crew. All those guys were playing.
Yeah,
I think Call
Browns
of Duty
could quit music right now and just play Call of Duty.
Right.
I mean, he's streaming like big. Like, he's a big streamer, and streaming makes
like
him
on
money.
Twitch and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm on Twitch too. But I just not like Kane is. Yeah, Kane's big time. He's playing with Tim the Tap Man every freaking weekend.
I think that's crazy to me. Like, my kid used to watch people playing video games, and I would be like, why?
It's crazy.
Why?
I don't understand.
I'm like, do you learn
my
stuff?
My son's the same way. My son's seven.
Yeah.
And he just sit there, and instead of
playing
it, he wants to just watch
Roblox.
Same.
Like, they just sit there. I'm like, are you learning anything? They're like, no, I'm just watching. I'm like, are you going to take anything you learn and go do it? No,
are
this
you
going to
go
just,
like build, like do what they're doing? Like,
yeah,
no.
No.
I don't understand. But that's the world we live in. You know,
maybe it's that consumption, I guess.
And Twitch is growing. I mean, like the watching the people play video games is a big thing. And I catch myself doing it. But the same, like while I'm playing too, I'll pull up Twitch on my other monitor and watch somebody else do what I'm doing. You know.
Are you learning though?
Maybe a little bit. But when you play, well, I'm a gamer. So like when you get to a point, there's not much you can learn. You know, like in a way. I mean, I guess maybe so, but. It's like I said, I think it's also a community aspect of like,
sure.
You know, people, there's a guy named Shroud who's a massive streamer. I mean, like millions and millions of, like he's one of the richest streamers there is probably. And he just plays all kinds of games.
He's just Call of Duty, everything.
He plays whatever just comes out. And so a lot of his fan base is like learning to see if they want to play this game that he's playing, you know, and he's just, because he just games all the time, so. He's ahead of the curb. And he plays everything. So
my friend Lisa, from high school, her son's name is Brandon. He gamed his whole life, growing up. I think he's like maybe late 20s right now.
Sure.
But he went to work for a company and all he does is test video games.
That's sick.
He just gets to play them and gets paid to do
it.
That'd
be awesome.
I'm like, I don't, like, if you're a musician and you love writing music and playing music, it's not work anymore. I look at Brandon and I'm like, dude, this dude's living his dream. He's making money playing brand new video games before anyone else does. His job is to try and break it and find things that don't work. And
that's cool. I think that would be fun. I feel like that would also turn into a job.
Yeah.
It's like me streaming, you know, like video games is the one thing on earth that gets me away from the reality of me thinking about music all the time. Probably. Like, it's the one thing that I can do that I'm not thinking about.
That's my dirt bike.
Yeah, it's your dirt bike. Yeah. So it's like whatever that is for somebody, like bogging that down with more like putting me streaming, like where people can come and talk to me and hang out with me all the time. It's more also a little scary because that's the one thing I have right now that's not.
Doesn't pull at you.
It doesn't pull at me. Yeah. So it's my vacation, you know.
So when you say that, I'm going to go back to music again. When you say that you'd love to put out two songs, I mean, a song every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Are you going to release an album?
I have one that's basically done. There's a couple. If I'm doing an album, I'll have a couple more that I'll need to record. But we've got about 9 to 10 songs completely
just ready.
Ready to go, yeah.
That aren't released on top of what you just released?
That are not released and are not leaked. I've leaked a few songs. It's funny when you start leaking songs on the internet. It's like TikTok, especially. Like they get mad at you, man. Everybody's mad at me. I feel like everybody's mad at me
for not putting the whole thing out.
Like, I'll leak it one time. You know, they're like, "Dude, when's this coming out, man?"
Yeah.
Like, well, this ain't freaking Apple, bro. This is TikTok. Like, put this out, man. And I'm like, I leaked it one time. Like, you know, there's these guys like, what's his name? Some of these pop guys that will leak songs for like 11 months. You
right.
know? There's a process to it. You know.
The algorithm.
The algorithm too, yeah. The algorithm likes it, you know, to be like the redundancy. Let's talk about the algorithm, dude. I mean, if you go to my TikTok right now and it's like me in a truck, 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 me in a field, me in a truck, me in a truck, me in a truck. You know, and that's what it likes.
Right.
You know, so if I don't do that, the me in the field would slow me down. Like, stop it all. It's like, whoa, you're not in a truck, dude. Drew, get in a truck and sing your song. That's what
I wonder,
was saying.
I wonder if that's what people really think about. They're like, that's what they associate you with. So,
oh yeah.
So I mean,
sure.
You should talk to your managers. I think I know a couple of them. But your new set, when you get like big and huge, should just be a truck. You should drive on a truck and sing half your songs in the truck.
I do that already.
You do?
I mean, yeah.
I meant live.
Oh, live. Pull up on stage.
Fuck it. Find your favorite truck and just roll out
of
that thing.
Video of me behind. I'm not even there. I'm just not even there.
Like that's part of it, dude. That's why you have a semi, so you can bring your trucks in each
I'm
show.
I'm not even there. It's just a video of me sitting in the truck and everybody's watching me at the show. They're all there watching me. That's,
well, I mean, Taylor Swift went.
Great
in,
idea.
Taylor just Swift went into the movie
like
theaters.
Fake truck window.
Why, dude? Do it in the movie theater. Taylor that's Swift did it.
We
right?
Did what?
She did her whole concert thing through the movie theaters. She wasn't there.
Mean? She wasn't there.
No, she released her show in movie theaters and kids went and saw her show because she sells every damn ticket no matter where she goes.
Sure.
So I mean,
well, that, I mean, I'm not Taylor Swift, though, you know.
I'm just saying, I mean, you have to show up to your show. I'm just saying, just bring a real badass truck.
She might not have to, but, I mean, I got to be there. It's one of those things, bro. Unfortunately, I got to go to work today.
And you're not dating a football player either.
Yeah.
Or married to one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not Taylor Swift, man. I gotta go be there. And I got to sign some kids' arms, you know.
Would you ever want to go out on the road with someone that big?
Duh. What do you mean?
I mean, do you think that you would be accepted? Like, let's just say that Taylor's accepted. Camp.
Oh, you mean like would the crowd give a flying shit about me?
What would be more nerve wracking for that? I mean, do you think that?
I don't care.
You don't care. You just want to get out there and just do your thing.
Dude, it's the freaking minimum 70,000 people probably every show she plays.
Right.
Surely to Lord, I'm gonna make 10 fans. You know,
10. Like 10%.
No, I mean, dude, I mean, that would be amazing.
Who's an artist that you'd love to go out on the road with and learn from? Like, who's on your radar right now?
I've been fortunate to really get to go out with a lot of people. So, I mean, everybody wants, you know, the Morgan tour, obviously, because anyone that's on that tour usually has a lot of success.
I would almost say that you would fit on that tour.
I would like to be on that tour. Hardy.
Nate Bailey.
Nate
Jelly.
Jelly Roll. Anyone that's on that group of stuff is doing really well right now.
Did you almost think about that? Every one of those artists that are on there right now could probably sell 20,000 tickets on their own.
Easy. Probably so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had...
20's a lot, but yeah.
Well, Bailey probably come close.
Most markets, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Hardy for sure. Morgan for sure. Jelly for sure.
Easy.
I guess... Nate's getting close, man.
Yeah, they're all getting close, probably.
Nate and I had him in February. I did a show with him, and he was at 9 weeks. My favorite number is 11. And so
me
I was
too.
Is it really?
Swear to God, yeah.
Dude, that's badass. We had a deal that if his single went 11 weeks, we would both get the number 11 somehow tattooed on our body. I have zero tattoos.
Oh, no. Zero.
So it went 10.
It didn't go 11?
Didn't go 11. No.
You got lucky.
It went, I don't know. I mean, I think that'd be like your first tattoo.
That'd be
pretty cool. That's a great story, right?
That is a great story.
Yeah, I caught Nate when he was young.
I think we should do it right now.
Do what?
Let's just go get 11 on us.
I'm going to go.
It's my favorite number. It's your favorite number. That's a thing. I think we should go. We're in Vegas.
I mean, if you didn't have a show tonight, I would think about it. When do you leave? No, you have a show tomorrow night too, right?
Yeah, we're playing Temecula. Is that how you say it? Temecula?
Temecula, yeah.
California.
Cali.
I love saying that, Temecula.
Why?
Temecula.
Just that word.
It's just a cool word.
So Temecula. I guess we could say if I had time, I'd go get the 11, dude. I have zero. I mean,
I have one on my ankle.
And that's
long
it.
Story. Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
I was 18 with like my crew. Like I was in a rock band, like a Puddle of Mud type band. We wrote our own songs and stuff, but I was actually just a rhythm guitar player. I wasn't even singing or nothing. And I went to this tattoo shop. I was on spring break, I guess, in Panama City, and wasted, absolutely wasted. Walk into this place and said, "Where's it hurt the worst?" And they said,
"Wow,
your ankle, your." They gave us a few spots, you know. And I was like, "Well, I'm not." So we all chose the ankle, and we picked out. We walked through the thing. We picked out like, this Chinese symbol that supposedly means eternity. I was like, "It's gonna be there forever, so let's use that as eternity." And we put it on our ankle, man.
Yeah. All of you
and
guys.
One of them guy got it on his neck right here. It's like it's like this big Chinese symbol. But yeah, we got it, and it hurt, and it was awful. Yeah, and I bled everywhere because I was intoxicated.
Yeah, so the blood levels were thin.
Yeah, it was. But I have one.
I'm gonna go with I don't.
Don't get one there though. It hurts like on your Achilles. No.
I want to get one where I can hide. I saw one today that was half cursive, half bold letters on an arm, and I just thought that was kind of cool too. It's just like one of those things. I've gotten the temporary ones just to see if I could, to see if I could
manifest it.
Yeah, just so I could hang with it. Like it's something I look at. I mean, those things last like 7 to 10 days, and I put them on my sleeve during the winter time. It was cool because I could roll up my. But then I'm like in the summer, I'm like, yeah, I don't. It'd have to really mean something. That's.
I've thought about getting a sleeve. I've always said if I get a number one,
yep,
I would get like a
not if
a,
when like arm. That's manifesting when you get that
sure,
number
sure.
one.
When I get a number one, I'll probably get. I haven't drew it up,
right?
To where I know what I want. I don't really know what I want. I got a couple things that I have planned out. Like I grew up on the water. I grew up on a boat, like a houseboat kind of thing. So I would probably do like something that had to do like you know because steering
that
wheel
time in your life,
with a Tennessee flag on it. Probably typical. Everyone's got a Tennessee flag right here. I would probably be that guy with the same thing. There's a lot of things that I've thought about, but Sleeve's a big investment.
Commitment.
You know?
Commitment.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's hard to decide one thing, you know?
My buddy Mike was so against him. And then he got one. He got a piece on his chest. And the next time I saw him, it went down his arm. And the next time I saw him, it was his whole back.
Oh, no.
Like, he did it in San Diego. Crazy. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But I'm just like, holy shit. That's a lot of ink and a lot of time and a lot of... I don't think I've ever sat that long. I don't even sleep for 4 hours straight, let alone if I can let someone tattoo me for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, MGK just got his whole entire body, like... He was full tat. His whole body was tatted up anyway, but he just went and made his whole body black.
Did he really?
Like yes, his entire from here down, it's just black, like tattooed. He tattooed over all of his tattoos. He's got like some designs on it. It looks pretty cool. Actually, it looks pretty cool.
Is he still with that one chick, Megan, whatever her name is?
You know, you're asking the wrong dude, man. Yeah, I'm not a social media nut. I don't get on. I mean, everyone thinks I'm like really good at social media, but I have people that
you wing it.
Yeah. And I don't get on there for nothing. You know, if I had it my way, I wouldn't have a phone.
Really?
For sure.
How are you going to get places? How's Todd going to get a hold of you?
Because I got Todd.
He'll just put a leash on you.
No. I mean, I would have a phone probably, but I'm not big.
A burner phone.
Yeah. I would just an Uber, just for Uber. Yeah, one app with Uber on it. That's it.
That's actually pretty funny. I bet we get to a time in life where it's like that, where people just totally disassociate themselves. Well, just disassociate themselves because
boy, we're far from it.
Yeah, we're living in a culture right now where the kids just look down, you know.
We're far from it.
Was it Mother's Day just came out? I saw a meme that it was Happy Mother's Day to Apple for all the iPads that raised their kids because it wasn't the mom or the dad,
I mean,
sort of thing.
In their defense, though, being a father, it does help sometimes, you know.
I think if you allot so much time, boundaries,
I'm not saying wake up to freaking bedtime is just iPad all day. That's all.
Yeah.
That's.
I get it. It's ridiculous.
Insane. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What's it turning?
That is the word ridiculous. Yeah.
You go to dinner and the kids are all sitting there with freaking iPad in front of them, and the parents are on their phone. And I mean, that's I don't know. That stuff freaks me out.
Well, it depends on the day. Like we're pretty like my family's pretty. My thought, like it's bedtime. Is it, you know, we read a book at 7. We're in bed by 7:30, and like they're like the door's shut by 8. You know, whatever.
No phones in the room.
No, they don't even have phones yet.
iPads.
Right. Yeah, no iPads. No, absolutely not. But we're in bed almost at the same time every night. And so if I've got an event or a dinner or whatever the reason may be, we're out at dinner and it's getting close to that, you know, grouchy time.
Yep.
You know, if my 3-year-old's about to be grouchy or my 7-year-old's about to be grouchy, we'll pull the iPad out. You know, like if we're in public with people that. I get that, you know, but like that's totally understandable, like pulling it out of a restaurant for that. But for the most part, I'm with you on the discipline thought of like they're not it's crazy, like they're becoming a robot.
Yeah,
like they're robots. They're just like watching Bluey for 3 hours. Like
right, and they can't.
No cries, no like they're happy, they're content.
There was
for 3 hours.
There was people
that's
that
not
were,
normal.
They were telling me that on TikTok, if you're on it too long, there's this thing that pops up and tells you, hey, maybe take a break. I don't know if there's a setting. I've never been on there that long to know that.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I've never been on that long, but people were telling me that's a thing, and I was like, if that ever happens to me, I'm done. Like the
that's
end of the day,
crazy.
That means
I'll
I'm way too bored.
It, yeah,
way too fucking bored.
That's wild. No, I love TikTok. It's done a lot for like, I am pro TikTok for sure, just because it's changed my life and my career, everything.
Do you see that
and
thing?
It's funny. Like speaking of TikTok, I was, you know, I signed a record deal with 1,000 Facebook followers. I didn't even have an Instagram or TikTok when I signed my first record deal, which is now, like, to say now is crazy.
Right.
That would never happen. Like, it wouldn't matter ever. So it's crazy to think about that and to see where, I mean, this is not what happened, but it felt like they just handed me a phone and said, here, go get famous on social media.
Yeah.
Because COVID, and I guess, you know, it's like, okay. We have a mission to go get famous on a platform that I know nothing about. I don't even know how to post on it. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So when we put up a video, and I feel like I was one of the first ones that got lucky and just posted a video of me singing in my truck.
People pay attention.
And it also goes to show that the songs do matter.
Yep.
People say that TikTok has ruined music or whatnot. Well, maybe sometimes you can say that there's a lot of big, dumb hits on there that wouldn't have seen the light of day without it. But at the same time, good music is heard, and good music good music makes it. Like, the algorithm's smarter than we are. So
the robots.
The robots are smarter than we are, and they know a good song when they hear one.
Did you see Craig Campbell's post?
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of scary because you sit back and I've dealt with artists before that have never played a show before and got a record deal because they've either been on The Voice
or the music industry. I mean,
yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And I sit back and it's like I don't know if they jump on something because they don't want someone else to jump on something.
Some people are also just stars though too.
Yeah. Like
there's a lot of guys that were new, like on the TikTok. I was already going before COVID, but there was a couple guys like Warren Zeiders.
Yeah.
Was the COVID baby, you know, so it's like he hadn't played a show when he already had a record deal and he never played a show. It sold out. Did a great job. He's a rock star. There's a lot of rock stars that through that era. Tucker Wetmore.
Yeah. Zach Bryan.
Yeah. Zach Bryan.
Yeah.
Dude. I mean, there's tons of guys that are just born to do it, man. Whether or not TikTok found them or
how they were found.
How they were found. Yeah. They would have made it either way, probably.
Bailey
Zimmerman.
Yeah.
I mean, there's.
Well, he got the good and bad of it. I saw a lot of bad stuff online with him, too.
Oh, yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah, I got some friends.
Bad publicity is amazing.
It's publicity. People are still talking about you. I have some friends that just saw him and were, like, blown away by his show. I mean, he's those guys over there.
They got it figured out.
Chief's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback, Nate Smith,
they're doing well.
Bailey. Yeah, and then just, I mean, that's a smart thing. I look at stuff like, I remember the first time I sat with Lily Rose and she told me a story how one day she was working at a golf shop restaurant. I forget what it's called, but somewhere in Nashville, and her song Villain just blew up.
Yeah.
And then she was going to lunch with the same people that she was serving. And she said something to me that just kind of made me laugh because that's the way this industry is. She said those people she was sitting with were asking her if they were nice to her. And I just think it's funny because you never know. This day and age, you never know. With the social media the way it is, I mean, you can blow up overnight and not even need those people. I mean,
look at Jessie Murph.
Yeah.
She was big, I mean, doing great. But, I mean, I've heard stories of a lot of people wanting to help her, a lot of people saying they were interested in her or not interested in her. And then literally a week later, it's like she can say no to everyone.
Right.
She's got, you know, she's on the point, but she's almost doing arenas, you know, like,
dude, Cody Johnson, same thing. Yeah. When I sat with him, you know, he told me about how many times he would walk into a label and it was like, what can you do for me? And they would all promise him, and I can do this. And he's like, well, okay, first of all, I don't need a bus. I got two that are paid for, you know, I don't need that because I already have, like, he just went through this whole thing and they would ask him to change things about him, his shirt, his hat, his this, whatever. He was like, I'm looking for a partner. Like, How do I make this brand bigger?
I'm all right. I don't need you, but if you think you can help me, then I'm here to listen.
I'm here to listen.
And I'm here to listen. And if you want to give me some money, then that's cool. But I want to see some outcome. You know?
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do together?
So you're independent right now. You're working on a deal. Is that where you want to be?
The same kind of place where Cody was like a lot of Bit of You was my first independent song I've ever put out.
Yeah.
Ever. So it's.
He was?
No. For me, my song, A Lot of Bit of You, was the first independent song that I'd put out.
And it's doing just fine.
And it's crushing. You know, we just hit 10 million streams this weekend. So it's like, we're celebrating in Vegas this weekend, baby. Scoop. But it's, I wasn't ready for that or thought that was even, like, touchable, to be honest. Like, to be completely straightforward, I'm not saying I didn't believe in myself, but I just didn't think that.
You're humble, dude.
Yeah, I just didn't think that an independent song with no push, no, $0 spent. Besides recording it, would have the opportunity to do that, and it did. And especially, and after I kind of like lost the record deal, I kind of took like a 9-month break, didn't do any socials, just like played video games at home. Like, not saying I was quitting or anything, I just took a break.
Sure,
just took a walk away. I still wrote every day, still had tons of songs I was recording, still was working. I just kind of took an artist break, you know. And then I came out of nowhere and was like, hey, I'm back, I'm putting out a song, and it did so well. And for that to happen made me realize, well, maybe some people that I get heard that I don't need a record deal. You don't need a record deal in 2024. Like, well, maybe they're right. You know, maybe I'm not, maybe I don't. And so I'm like, I went through the battle and the stress, a lot of stress, to be honest, too much of figuring if I do need a team or if I can just keep doing this myself. And there comes to a point in, I think, hopefully every artist's career where you do need a team. You do need a team. You do need a platform. You do need help, because if you want to, I'm a go big or go home kind of guy.
Yeah.
And if I'm not a survivor. Yes, I can be independent and put out three and have just pray that one song does good a year and live off of it and be great. My family would be great. Actually,
sure.
Would be great, and I wouldn't have to work near as hard. I wouldn't have to depend on anyone. I wouldn't have to take losses. I wouldn't have to do these, like, I can go take what shows I want and live the dream from that aspect.
That's comfortable, though.
That's comfortable, and that's not me. I'm not comfortable.
You look at stuff like, I've watched Spencer Crandall grow, independent.
Sure.
Alexandra Kay.
Yeah.
Crushing.
Yeah.
Now she's out or just did a run with Jelly Roll.
That's awesome.
Independent.
Yeah.
Like, there's always that side of stuff. It's
is.
Not the answer, but I think that when you're in a position.
Last year, I had the best touring year of my life last year. I did the first leg of the Darius Rucker tour. Like, I got to freaking play blackjack with Darius Rucker. Like, I grew up a Darius Rucker, like, fan, you know? And
sure.
Now, like, to feel like by the end of the tour, I feel like we're buddies, you know? To go on the Sam Hunt tour and play, like, six arenas. Like, and I opened up for Alabama last year. I opened up for Alabama again this year in an arena, you know? So it's like. I was independent all last year.
How does that come together? Who does that deal with you?
Well, I'm with CAA. With
So CAA put that stuff together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have an agent, yeah, for sure. Like, independent that way, too, would be crazy.
How does Darius's team look at that? I mean, do they just say, hey, I need an opener, and someone at CAA says, hey, we're just going to take this guy and throw him?
Probably when I got booked, he had no idea.
Like, right.
He probably had no idea until the day of the show, yeah. Like, you know, but because it's Darius Rucker.
So – Let's have some fun with that. Did Darius come out and watch any of your show?
First day on my bus, what's up, dude? Like, super nice. Blew my mind. Figured it would be like, you know, some person to come over and be
a
like,
handler.
Hey, yeah. Like, somebody say, you know, Darius wants you to do a shot with him before the show or something. Something normal. Like, that's normal. But not him on the bus. And a lot of people are that way, too. Russell Dickerson, same way. On my bus, first thing, what's up, dude? Let's party.
Yeah.
You know, and Mitchell Tenpenny, same thing. Sam Hunt, same thing. I mean, everybody's really nice, man.
Did you call him Hootie or Darius?
Definitely called him Darius. Don't call him Hootie ever. Don't ever.
I would. I would totally call him Hootie.
Don't. Trust me, don't.
So do they critique your show after? Did they say anything to you? I mean, do you the feedback, or do they just enjoy it?
I can kind of just tell by the environment, like, hey, you did a good job, or hey, you're not that great, you know. Like, it's A or B. It's not like, hey, like, they don't care enough about me to be like, let's figure out what we can do to be better.
You right.
Know, like, that's not a thing. So it's like, I can tell, like, when his band or somebody comes up to me and they're like, dude, y'all crushed. I know that we did good. You know, really more so from the band and crew than more so than Darius. Like, Darius
right.
is Darius. It doesn't matter if I did good or not. You know. And,
what about Sam Hunt? Did he come out and watch some of your shows too?
Yeah, he asked from the side of you. I could see his little head poking out.
How does that feel? Like, that's
cool.
A fan.
I remember the first time I felt that feeling was with Mitchell Tenpenny. You know, like, I had my first song, She Got That. I remember being on stage on his tour and seeing him taking the time out of his hour before his gig
right.
to watch me sing a song, which was, you know, pretty cool. And being like, damn, dude, Mitchell Tenpenny likes this song right now. Damn, Sam Hunt has heard a song. you know, it's like, I get to that point where it's like, wow, Darius Rucker's heard a song that I freaking put out, you know? And then to him, and then to come up to me and be like, hey, you want to go play poker? You know, and it's like, holy shit, I'm going to go play poker. I got $300. All right, cool. What do I do? Like, I don't even know if, like, can that get me a round of blackjack with Darius Rucker? Is $300 enough to play at one round?
Right.
You know, like, are we playing high limit? Like, are we, like, in this private room? Like, I'm, you know, you're nervous about everything that's going on, you know? And so, but it's not. He's a normal dude, just like everybody.
They're human.
We're sitting in the room and watched him lose his ass, and I made a lot of money that day. It was crazy. I had $300. I didn't even have $300. I had my tour manager up and said, "Give me, how much cash do you have on you?"
Right.
Because I didn't have a debit card. I had a credit card, and I guess I couldn't get cash.
Can you spot me $300?
Yeah. So he spotted me $300, and I made $5,000. I was like, "Dude, that's the best. That's the most I've ever won."
Where were you guys at?
We were in somewhere in Indiana, maybe.
So Indian
like
reservation.
Rock. It was like a
thing?
Hard Rock, yeah. Yeah, like a casino, and the whole casino just pretty much shut down and watched Darius Rucker play. Like, he sat right in the middle with everybody, like, just a normal dude. Was nice, like, bought everybody drinks, like, just the nicest human being possible.
I like to say that just because you chose a different career path and got to a certain level doesn't change the fact that you're still human.
Sure.
I had dinner I've had a couple Friday nights off lately, and I haven't had a Friday night off in 10 years.
Bet, yeah.
So I've really been enjoying it. I went to my buddy Marcello's house. He had a little pizza party at his house, and he owns an Italian restaurant here called Nora's.
Okay.
Kind of cool. Just hung out. Was weird. Just because I don't have to do with my hands. I don't have to do with anything on a Friday night because I'm normally just music filled. Well, that was the Friday before Mother's Day. And so the following day, I get a call from a guy by the name of Nick Nanton, who's involved with, he's from Nashville, lives just outside of Nashville, I believe. He does some writing. He's one of the guys, works with Tim Ballard and did Sound of Freedom and all that kind of stuff and Operation Toussaint. Hits me up, and Chris Voss, I don't know if you know that name.
I did know the name.
He's used to be an FBI negotiator.
Don't know the name.
So now he's like, he's on.
Don't know the name, never mind.
He's a TED Talks kind of guy that really teaches you about life and about like how to negotiate anything that you're involved with. So
why does that name sound familiar? Why would I know that name? From social media or something?
Probably. Okay. He's all over that.
Okay.
But so like he was in town, and Nick reaches out and says, I need a private room for a place to eat for Chris Voss, but he's going with John Mayer.
What?
And I'm just like, so I called my buddy Marcello, and I'm like, bro, like, listen, this is a random ask, but it's Mother's Day. He goes, if it's after 2 p.m., I'll take care of it, because they didn't open until 2, and they wanted Chris Voss, and they wanted to eat at 1. They end up doing 2, so I'm just like, they're regular people. They eat just like me and you do, but this restaurant here in town, Mother's Day, 2 o'clock, had Chris Voss and John Mayer, and they're eating lunch, and I was like, that is just, you're talking about playing poker with Darius Rucker. I mean, they're real. They're still real people. Yeah.
You see those videos all the time of like Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Can't go outside, dude.
Can't go outside.
I mean, he's walking, the people are just bugging him.
Right.
It'd be pretty tough.
Well, I sit back. I listen to Jack Harlow. I don't know if you listen to him at all.
Oh, I love Jack Harlow.
So he's got that one line in the song in 2019, you give a shit. Now he can't go anywhere because they're up his ass all the time. But that's the reality.
He's huge, like, man. He's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that I super like as far as hip hop and everything. That's the kind of stuff.
Me too. Same. Yeah.
I listen to everything, I guess, man. Well, you got another single coming out soon?
Yeah, we're about to put out. We're actually not sure yet. We're actually, like I said, I'm going through the deal. I don't want to say which one because I don't want to say which one and then do something else.
Right.
So
you don't piss off more people.
Yeah, I don't piss you off more than everybody else is already pissed off. You know, we're not 100% sure what song yet, but we were leaking a lot. We got a lot of songs done in the bag. We're deciding on EP or album, but one for sure.
I would love to see you drop a whole thing, man.
Me too, man.
I think I've
been doing this way too long to have not done that.
And you have to put it on vinyl.
Absolutely. Imagine not doing that. Yeah.
Tell your managers to get their shit together.
Yeah, man. Scott, Todd, you heard that.
God damn it, Bobby. Dude, tell people how to find you online.
DrewGreen.com, at Drew Green, real simple.
That's it. Yeah. Thanks again for the time, dude.
Dude, love you, man. Thanks.